Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Matthew 27, 46. One verse today, and this is when Jesus is on the cross. And it says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What I want to preach to us today is that nothing shall be able to separate. Nothing shall be able to separate. The Lord's going to reach for someone today. Can we lift our hands one more time and just very, very sincerely pray over the preaching of the word today? Thank you for your joy that's in this house, Lord. But someone today needs you to pull them out of the pit. Somebody today needs you to mend their heart and to restore their life. I've come to preach to that person today. I pray that you would, Lord, anoint the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word, Lord, and we are going to give you glory for everything that you do here today. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time as you're seated. Somebody just shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus here is, he's on the cross. He's not carrying the cross. He's not on the way up Calvary's Hill. He's on the cross. He's hanging there. He's beaten and bruised, and it's a very, I won't go into it, but it's a very graphic situation here. And He's torn apart. He's hanging on the cross. He's been mocked. He's been beaten. He's been humiliated. And at the ninth hour, he cries out. He doesn't say it to himself. He cries out with a loud voice and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we have a hard time reasoning with this scripture many times if you don't understand it. But we all know at some point the ache, the despair of feeling distant from God. Sin separates and shame begins to whisper that God has forsaken us. When you start to feel that distance, when you start to feel that separation that sin causes, shame will whisper in your ear. The enemy will whisper in your ear and say, God has forsaken you. God has left you behind and forgotten about you because of where you are and because of what you've done. On the cross, Jesus himself, he stepped into that human feeling of separation. When he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? He wasn't expressing a break in the Godhead. He wasn't expressing literally that he was a separate person from the Father. He was expressing the crushing weight of sin and separation it brings to humanity. And we must understand that verse. We need to understand that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. We understand that he was God manifest in flesh. On the cross, he bore the sins of the world. It wasn't his sin. It was my sin. It was your sin. And what a realization that is. I began as I was praying and I was writing things down, I was preparing for today, I began to think about that. And I just started to weep when I thought about it. What a realization to know that it was not his sin that he felt the weight of, but it was my sin that he felt the weight of. He did not sin. He knew no sin. There was no sin in him. But at Calvary, he became the sin bearer. Not of his own sin, but of my sins. And every time that I have felt the weight and the despair of sin, and every time I have felt the shame of disappointing God, every time I have felt the darkness that will surround you when you make yourself distant from him, when you turn your back on him, when you sin and transgress, make a mistake. Every time those times that I can think of years ago when I would lay awake in my bed and tears would be flowing and I would be thinking how I have failed God, how far I have come from God. When I felt those things, I realize here that he felt it first. All the times that I have felt so low and so in despair, and I have felt the weight and the prick of conviction, he felt it first for me on the cross. I want you to think about your own mistakes, your own sin, the times that you were far away from God and how that made you feel and the despair and the shame that you felt. Can I tell you that Jesus bore the weight of that before you ever did? He bore the weight of my sin, and not just mine, but the sins of all mankind. I wish we could clap our hands right now to the Lord and just say, thank you, Jesus, for bearing the weight of my sin. Because it was not his sin. It wasn't his weight. But he said, I'll take it. Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We need to understand that sin will always produce distance. Sin does create a gap. It does make a rift between me and God. Isaiah 59, 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The cry of Jesus on the cross shows us that he carried not only our sin, but also the feeling of abandonment that sin produces. The feeling of separation from God that sin produces. And yet even then, the scripture reminds us that God was still in Christ, even in that moment. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, I'm so thankful. What Jesus was doing when he hung on that cross and he cried out, my God, my God, what he was doing was making sure that he paid it all, that he left nothing undone, and that he made a way for us to be reconciled unto him. I wish somebody could rejoice with me today. Before he said, "It is finished," he decided, not only will I give them victory over sickness and will I cover every sin, but I will take upon me the weight and the despair of separation, and I will take it to the grave with me, and in that I will give them victory over every single thing that could separate me and them. Jesus truly paid it all. I wish somebody would preach with me today and clap your hands if you know that Jesus didn't leave anything undone, but he paid it all for me. He paid it all for you. Oh, I wish we didn't have to wait until Easter to get excited about the work that he did at Calvary. I need it every day. I need the blood every day. I need his sacrifice every day. And I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't leave anything undone, but he was able to say, "It is finished." He did take stripes for your healing. He did wear a crown of thorns for the things that plague your mind. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. And he conquered that separation anxiety that you feel and that lies to you and tells you God has forsaken you. I'm telling you, Jesus paid it all. And he left nothing undone. And that's what we have. That's what people have. They deal with that separation anxiety. We deal with that in the natural. Some people, they've had people walk out of their life suddenly. They have abandonment issues. They, because of things people have done to them, things that have happened in their life, they get that separation anxiety. And they have a constant fear that the ones close to me are going to leave me. The ones close to me are going to vanish in just a moment. They're going to forsake me. They're going to turn their back on me. And that's not exclusive to humans. Dogs have separation anxiety. You can't leave them in the house. You come back, the house is burnt down. I did that because I missed you. That's what they tell you. I destroyed this house because I love you so much and I missed you. But people deal with that. They're afraid, and they get like that with God because they feel like God is going to, "I'm so fragile and I messed up so much and my life is such a wreck. I just know that God is going to forsake me. I just know that God is going to be through with me after this one." And somebody feels that way today. But let me be very clear that God has not and will not forsake you. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." That's his word. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." He has not lost interest in you. He has not forgotten you. And he has not cast you away. Somebody needs to hear that and know that today. I want to tell somebody who feels distant from God. I want to tell somebody who feels far away from God because of the decisions you've been making. And maybe it's not for you today, but maybe it's for the one next to you. But God's reaching for somebody. And I want to tell that person that feels distant from God today that you can be close to God. You can be close to him. James, he writes in his epistle, chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." What James is talking about is repentance. What he's talking about in this passage, in these verses, he's talking about repentance. He's talking about making a decision to turn back to God. And he makes it clear that when that happens, God will not give you the silent treatment. He will not make you wait. He will not put you in a waiting room. He won't shame you because of what you've done. He won't punish you because of where you've been. But when you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh unto you. I'm telling you, when you draw nigh to him, when you make up your mind, I'm going to draw closer to him, he will draw close to you. Amen. In Luke 15, the prodigal son had wasted everything. He had wasted everything. He asked for his inheritance early. He took it. He left the father's house, and he wasted his life with riotous living, it says. He went out. It was all about the money. It was all about the parties. It was all about the girls. It was all about pleasure. It was all about what he could get from this life and what he could use that inheritance to buy him and to bring him. But when that was used up, not only had he given everything to the world, but the world had sucked everything out of him. And when that was gone, he didn't have anybody around him to take care of him. The world forsook him. The friends that he had, that he partied with, they forsook him. Those things came to an end. And it says that a famine, it swept through the land, and he was desperate. He was desperate. And he ended up in the filth of a pig pen. He was so hungry that he wanted to eat the slop, the husk that the swine did eat, the Bible says. And he felt far from his father. Luke 15, 17, it begins and it says, when he came to himself, I will never not make this point talking about the prodigal son. It says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'll arise and I'll go to my father. This indicates to me that the riotous living that he had been taking part in, and being now so destitute and just in the pig pen trying to eat pig food, starving to death, this situation that he was in now because of what he had done was not who he really was at the core. Because when he came to himself, when he got just a little bit of clarity in that moment, he realized, I cannot stay here anymore. When he came to who he really was, he said, I'm a son. And I've got to go back to my father's house. And I'm not even worthy to be called his son. And so I'll just ask him, Lord, make me as one of your hired servants. And so he realizes this. And he goes back. He starts walking back to the father's house. What I want you to realize today, that while the son was walking toward the father with his head down, the father was running to his son with his arms open. Verse 20 says, he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, there was a lot of distance between him and the father. When he was far away from the father, it says that he ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. He embraced him. He welcomed him. I'm telling you today, and I wish somebody would get this, if you will take one step back towards God, he will run to close that gap so fast it'll make your head spin around. I'm telling you, if you will take one step in repentance today, God will run to meet you at this altar. You don't have to beg him. If you'll take one little step, if you will draw nigh unto him, he will run to meet you today. Somebody needs to clap your hands. Somebody needs to just worship the Lord right now. Come on, we need to get this word in our spirit today. I wish somebody would just worship with me right now. I wish somebody would begin to call on the name of the Lord right now. Come on, somebody, lift your voice for just a moment. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost reaching for someone in this place today. Oh, come on, church, let's get serious about this right now. I feel the Holy Ghost just reaching for somebody's heart right now. Oh, you've been living far away from God. You might even be in church today, and you might wear the mask and look good, but you know you've been far from God. I'm telling you today, take one step, take one step, take one step, and He will run to meet you today. He will run to meet you today. The enemy wants us to believe that the cry of Matthew 27:46 is the end of the story. And I don't know what he thought. I don't know what the enemy thought if he heard Jesus say that. I don't know. But if he did, I can imagine that he thought, ha, got him, forsaken. That's an admission of defeat. But that was not the end of the story. And it's not the end of your story. Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is anybody persuaded today that nothing shall be able to separate? Nothing shall be able to separate. I wish that somebody in this house believed today and could remember today that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. And you might say, well, you just said that sin separates us. Sin does separate you from God. But nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God. And His love bridges the gap. It doesn't matter how long it's been there and how wide it is and how deep it is. The love of God bridges the gap that sin makes between you and Him. And His love never fails. His love never runs out. His love never gives up. It never stops chasing. It never stops reaching. It never stops calling. Let me tell you today that you cannot outrun the love of God. You can't be so deep in sin. You can't be so destitute that you can outrun the love of God. It can't happen. It can't happen. It can't happen. Sin will separate you from God, but it will not separate you from the love of God, and His love will never not be there. His love will never not be there. When you decide to take one step, you're stepping on that bridge of love. When you decide to turn around and take one step back towards Him, you're on that bridge that's going across that gap. And He's not going to meet you halfway. He'll run further than you walk. He will run further than you walk. He's going to run towards you while you walk towards Him. I'm telling you, that Jesus, He loves you, and He's reaching for you today. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I feel the Holy Ghost today. I don't know if you wanted to shout. I don't know if you wanted me to get in this pulpit today and blow your mind, but I'm telling you that the Holy Ghost is reaching for somebody. The Holy Ghost is trying to get, if it's just one person, God is trying to get a hold of them today. I came to preach this good news to somebody today that needs to hear, God has not forsaken you. I'll invite the musicians to come. When Jesus cried out on the cross, He was carrying our cry of separation. But He didn't stay there. 3 days later, He rose again with power. He rose again with the keys, death, hell, and the grave. And he proved that separation is defeated and the way to him is open. So when you feel far from God, and you might feel far from him today, if you'll draw near to him, he will draw near to you. If you'll start walking, he will start running. He will close that gap. He will close that gap. Stand with me today. I want to tell you that I know what it feels like to feel far from God. I grew up in church. I have never made the decision that I'm not going to go to church anymore. For one thing, Ed and Candy Walden would never have allowed that to happen as long as I didn't have a driver's license. And even then, Ed Walden would have found a way. But I started getting older. I came into places even outside of my teen years. Made decisions. Got myself all turned around. I never made the decision that I'm not going to come to church anymore. And I thank God that at least I didn't do that. But I would come in. I'd sit on the pew. I'd sit behind the drums. And I would see the Spirit of God moving. But I would feel so far away from God because of what was going on in my life that nobody else knew, or maybe just a few people did. I know what it's like to come into the house of God and put on the mask and look like everything's okay. I know what that's like. And I know the crushing weight of leaving and feeling like another day, another service, and it's still the same. I want to tell you today, don't stay stuck where you are. Don't stay stuck on the other side of that chasm between you and God. You dug the hole yourself. You dug the trench yourself. No denying that. We got to take ownership. We got to take responsibility. We got to take accountability for how we got ourselves here. But Jesus will close that gap. And I'm not going to say I'm begging you, but I'll put it in scriptural terms. I'm going to say I implore you today. Do not waste another day on the other side of that chasm. Brother Jorge talked about it today in Sunday school. He preached, "Just Fix It." He talked about how just a little thing, it can become worse and worse and worse and worse. We need to take care of it today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. And so again, I implore you, run from the world. Run from that old life. Run from those things that are keeping you from your full potential in God. Run from it and run to Jesus. I'm not trying to just pull at your emotions today, but I can envision him standing in these altars with his arms open, saying, "You don't even realize how fast I'll meet you. You don't even realize how fast I will bring you in again. You don't even realize how fast I'll restore you and I will turn your life around. It could be a number of different reasons that you feel distant from God today, but He's still right here. Nothing can keep you separated from His love that is everlasting, and from His mercy that endureth forever, and from His compassions that fail not, and from His faithfulness that endures to all generations. I know that we have, and I'm about to open these altars, I know that we have, there are churches in this world today, there are people in churches in this world today that their way is to try and beat people into submission, and to try and beat people into the altar. And there are people in churches today, sadly, that will make people feel farther from God than what they are because they don't measure up to something. And I understand that as children of God, as people of God, there are standards we hold ourselves to. There are common things in the Word of God we believe, and we preach that, we believe it, and we declare it. But I want to tell you today that no matter what some people might tell you or how they might make you feel, Jesus is ready to meet you. Jesus is ready to restore you. He's not going to pour out His wrath on you. But His arms are open today. And He's saying, if you'll just start the process, if you'll just take one step, I will meet you.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.